Hello friends, now we are going to see chapter 6 of the Negotiable Instrument Act. This deals with checks. All of you all have seen a check, handled a check, or even dealt with a check. But let us look at this check from various angles. From the angle of a person who issues the check, from the angle of the bank which deals with the check, from the angle of the third party who receives a check from somebody else. Now, from various angles, let us look at a check and how it benefits business deals. Okay. Now, what is a check? What is a check in the real sense? A check has been defined in Section 6 of the Negotiable Instrument Act. It says that a check is a bill of exchange drawn on a specified banker. We have seen that a bill of exchange is an instrument in writing where the drawer instructs somebody to make payment to somebody else. So, A draws a bill on B asking him to make payment to C. A check is also a bill of exchange. The only difference is that B, the person who is instructed to make the payment, that B, the drawee, will be the bank. So, a check is a bill of exchange drawn on a bank and the bank has to make payment to somebody who the drawer of the check specifies. So, in a check, the drawee is always a bank. That bank where the drawee maintains his account. So, he issues a check to his bank asking the bank to make the payment to a third party whom he mentions on the check. So, a check is a bill of exchange drawn on a specified banker. It cannot be expressed to be payable otherwise than on demand. That means it has necessarily got to be a demand instrument. You cannot mention on the check, pay 2 months from now, pay 4 weeks after this date. No, it will always be on demand. On demand, pay to Mr. So-and-so. It cannot be expressed to be payable otherwise than on demand. That is, it has to be necessarily payable only on demand. See, this Negotiable Instrument Act, when it was enacted, when the wordings were being drafted, they took care of so many factors. So, that is why you will find some of the words used in a double negative meaning. You cannot write other than this. They will not say specifically you should write this. So, because this takes care of various other factors. So, in the definition of a check, it says it cannot be made payable otherwise than on demand. So, a check is a written instrument because it is a bill of exchange. It is an unconditional order because it is a bill of exchange, and the definition of a bill of exchange applies here, ipso facto. It is an unconditional order. It is an instrument in writing to pay a certain sum of money. The money is mentioned on the check and it is always drawn on a banker. So, these are the essential requirements of a check. Since it is an instrument in writing, it has to be on either a paper or a cloth or linen, what we saw applicable to a bill of exchange. This now, with so many electronic devices in use today, a check now is included in the electronic format also. In the electronic format, a check includes an electronic image of a check. It also includes the electronic form of a check. The image of a check is included. The electronic form of a check is also included. These are all additions to the Negotiable Instrument Act, which was not there earlier. Now, with the advent of technology, with new modern devices of communication, these have now been included in the definition of a check. So it says it includes the electronic image of a truncated check. I'll tell you about check truncation a little later. It also includes a check in the electronic form, not in the physical form, but in an electronic form. A check in the electronic form means a check which contains the exact mirror image of a paper check. We know a paper check. We have all seen it. We have all handled it. We have been the beneficiaries under a check, or we have made payments under the check. Now, an electronic check is written and signed in a secure system. It is written in the computer. It is mentioned in the computer, but then you have to identify the maker of the check. So for that, it has to be in a secure system so that no one else can tamper with it. You put the amount in words in an electronic form. Someone else should not be able to come and change that amount for his own benefit. You write the payee's name on the check. Someone else should not be able to come and change the payee's name in the electronic format by hacking into it. No, these things are not allowed. So that is why it says it is generated and written or signed in a secure system, ensuring basic minimum safety standards. There are so many documents which are now prepared in the electronic format, and there all safety measures are taken care of. Passwords are put. You cannot enter into it without you putting in your password. So there is an entry password and subsequently another password to go into the inner sanctum of that electronic space. So all these safety measures are to be taken care of, and then only the person who has entered the details can change it. No one else can change it. So it will be in some PDF format or some such format, only read only for other people, not for making changes. So these safety measures are to be taken care of. So a check in the electronic form means a check which contains the exact mirror image of a proper check. So whatever is the format of a check in the normal sense will have the same format in the electronic system. And in that electronic system, it will be generated and written and signed in a secure system with all the basic minimum safety standards. And for signing it, digital signature will be used. Now, this digital signature is different from the normal signature. Everybody will not have a digital signature. Anyone cannot just say XYZ, I have signed it. No, a digital signature is different from the normal signature we put physically on any piece of paper. So a digital signature takes care of the identity of the person who has prepared the document. So no one else can tamper with the contents of the electronic format. So a digital signature is something which is very useful for protecting the contents, for not tampering with the information, and for ensuring the identity of the person who has made the information in the electronic format. We may or may not use biometric system, because biometric system is further additional safety measure. It may or may not be used. We may or may not use cryptic language, because for ensuring further safety, some cryptology, cryptic system, cryptic languages are used, coded messages, coded languages, which only two persons among themselves will know. It's a coded language which a normal person looking at it will not understand. He'll think that is some trash. But between two parties, the crypted message will have meaning. So a check may be in the crypted language, which when decoded will give the correct shape and form to the check. Or it may or may not have a biometric signature, but it will have a digital signature. And it will be with full safety standards. This is the format of an electronic check. Not the real check, but an electronic check. And this electronic check is valid. It has legal sanctity. It has the safety standards. It is helpful in getting the instrument being handled in a perfect manner. Normally, such electronic checks are issued by many companies who issue dividend warrants, by many companies who have to refund the IPO issues. Somebody has subscribed for a share, he does not get the share allotted, the refund order comes to him, this will come in an electronic format. The dividend warrants nowadays are being issued in electronic format because, you know, it is very easy to issue electronic format checks when it is to be issued in large numbers. Where the check is to be issued in large quantities to many number of beneficiaries, it is very easy to do so in an electronic format. And it is cost saving. You don't need so many papers either. You don't need to print out so many. They may be having printouts, but that may be in ordinary paper. It need not be on security papers, which are costly. So usually dividend warrants, IPO refund orders are issued in electronic forms. A truncated check. Now see, check in an image form, electronic image, and a check in a truncated form, they are two different aspects altogether. They are not the same. Check truncation also requires use of electronic measures. But a truncated check is different and an electronic check is different. An electronic check originates in an electronic form. It is given birth to in electronic form. In the case of check truncation, it is a normal check issued by a person in a physical form. Subsequently, it is converted into an electronic form. The image is captured. The check is scanned and its image is taken into the electronic system. And that image is passed on to somebody else for referring to the check. In that case, there is no need for physical movement of the check from one place to another or from one person to another. So basically, check truncation comes into the picture where a check is required to move physically from one place to another. Now that need not take place. The image can move instantly, real time. Whereas for a physical movement, there is a time factor. If the check has to move from Mumbai to Delhi or Mumbai to Calcutta, there will be a time factor. 24 hours may go. Or even if it goes by plane, some 3-4 hours will take place. But if the image has to be passed on, it will be real time. I scan the image on the computer and then I send it by email. It goes immediately to the other party. Anywhere across the world. Not only in India, but even other parts of the world. So this is a real-time movement. So check truncation comes into play where movement of a check is required from one place to another, from one party to another. As of now, check truncation is dealt with only by Reserve Bank of India. Now, why Reserve Bank of India has to deal with check truncation? Now, I'll give you a very clear example. Suppose I issue a check in favor of Mr. XYZ. Mr. XYZ is in Kolkata. I have purchased certain goods from him and I am now making the payment to him. So I issue the check to him. He has an account in Kolkata with his bank. Suppose I issue a check. I have my account with State Bank of India here and I issue the check to him, Mr. X, who is in Kolkata. He has his account with United Bank of India in Kolkata. So what happens first? I prepare the check, I sign it, and then I post it. I send it to Mr. X in Kolkata. Or maybe he comes to Mumbai, he takes it personally from me, but he has to go to Kolkata and deposit it in his account with United Bank of India. So he delivers the check to United Bank of India in Kolkata. Now, what will United Bank of India Kolkata branch do? They see that this check is drawn on State Bank of India in Mumbai. So, they will send that check from Kolkata to their branch in Mumbai. So, the check will now travel from United Bank of India Kolkata to United Bank of India Mumbai. After it comes to United Bank of India Mumbai, United Bank of India will send it in clearing for collection to State Bank of India, Mumbai. Now, this check will pass from United Bank of India, Mumbai to State Bank of India, Mumbai through Reserve Bank of India. It will not go directly from by carrying it from United Bank of India to State Bank of India. It will go through Reserve Bank of India. So all the checks, other bank checks, will be sent to Reserve Bank of India. There, all banks will pool their checks. Whatever checks are drawn on other banks, they will be handed over to a person representative of Reserve Bank of India. He will take all those checks and then he will sort out and give back those checks to different banks. So United Bank of India might have brought similarly, say, 14 checks drawn on State Bank of India. Now all those 14 checks of United Bank of India will be given to State Bank of India. Likewise, State Bank of India might have brought 1000 checks drawn on different banks in Mumbai on various banks. They will all be given to those different banks. So each bank will give to other banks whatever checks they have received, and they will take from other banks what checks are drawn on their bank. And this has to be done through a common person, that is Reserve Bank of India, a person on whom they trust. So Reserve Bank of India does the clearing work. It will help all the banks pool in their checks and take away their own checks. So this clearing house will hand over the check given by United Bank of India to State Bank of India. Then when State Bank of India receives the check drawn by me, it will debit my account and pass on the payment to United Bank of India, Mumbai. Then United Bank of India, Mumbai will pass on that payment to United Bank of India, Kolkata. And after that, the customer in Kolkata, Mr. X, will get credit to his account. Now this entire process takes a period of minimum 10 to 15 days. Because first the check moves from my hand to his hand, from Mumbai to Kolkata. After that, he deposits it in his bank in Kolkata. Kolkata Bank, United Bank, sends it to Mumbai United Bank of India. Mumbai United Bank of India gives it to State Bank of India, Mumbai, through Reserve Bank of India. And the payment comes from State Bank of India to United Bank of India, Mumbai. And then it passes from United Bank of India, Mumbai, to United Bank of India, Kolkata. Now, this entire process takes 10 to 15 days for the collection. The proceeds are received ultimately and credited to Mr. X account with United Bank of India. Now in the new system, what Reserve Bank of India will do is, when the customer receives the check, Mr. X receives the check from me, he deposits it with United Bank of India in Kolkata. Now United Bank of India, Kolkata will not send the check to United Bank of India, Mumbai. Instead, they will send it to Reserve Bank of India in Kolkata itself. Reserve Bank of India in Kolkata will capture the image of that check and pass on that image to Mumbai. Mumbai people, that Reserve Bank of India, Mumbai, will capture that image and show it to State Bank of India. State Bank of India gets the image of the check that I have issued, and they, on the strength of that image, they will debit my account and give credit to the customer's account ultimately with United Bank of India in Kolkata. Now the check has moved only from physically from United Bank of India to Reserve Bank of India in Kolkata. Subsequent travel of the check from Kolkata to Mumbai and in Mumbai from this bank to that bank through Reserve Bank is not going to happen. What Reserve Bank of India has done is capture the image, and they have stopped further movement of the check from Kolkata to Mumbai. They have captured the image, and that image travels, and that image will travel online on real time basis. So once the image travels on real time basis, the day the image is captured there, it is also seen here, and then the payment is made immediately. Now that customer in Kolkata will get the payment maximum within 2 or 3 days. Earlier he was getting the payment after 10 to 15 days. Because the check had to physically travel from one city to another. Now there is no need for the check to travel physically. Reserve Bank of India captures the image and passes the image from that city to this city. Now this process is known as check truncation. This check truncation is very useful for clearinghouse members. And it is helpful to the customers ultimately, because they get the payment very soon. Now, the image of the check that has moved from Kolkata to Mumbai is a check, but it is not a physical check. It is the image that has come, but that image has all the features of the original check. Whatever features the original check had, all those features, the safety measures are accepted here, and that image is accepted as the check here, and on the strength of that image, the account gets debited. So the bank here, the State Bank of India, who gets the instruction from me to debit my account and make the payment to Mr. X, will accept that image as though it is the check that I have physically issued, and they will act upon it and make the payment. So check truncation is very useful, and this check truncation, where the electronic image is made available, is also recognized by Negotiable Instrument Act. Because world has changed, the technology has changed, a physical form has now given birth to a virtual form. It is now an image that is accepted and which helps in payments. Now, as we have seen, an electronic image of the check is generated and this is transmitted to the paying bank. Hence, physical movement of the check is not required. That means the physical movement is stopped. It is truncated. It has been stopped at that particular level. Now, this check truncation is in vogue in foreign countries. But in India, it was first introduced in 2007, about 6-7 years back. But it is still not working in a full-fledged manner. It is not working in a real sense that it should be accepted all over India. It is now gaining popularity. Slowly, slowly the system is spreading. But it is not yet used extensively. It is used only in certain major cities. Check truncation is still in the initial testing stage because, you know, there are a few teething problems and certain hiccups are there which are to be overcome. The main issue in check truncation is the movement of the image from one place to another. Now, if somebody wants to play a fraud, he can create a false image and send that image. Although a physical check may not be there, or a physical check is prepared identical to a real check, but it is not a real check. It is a fictitious check, a fraudulent check, a forged check. These checks also will have an image prepared and that image may travel. And the bank at this end may not know that it is not the real image or it is not the real, image of a real check. And presuming that it is a real image, they may make the payment and they may end up making wrong payments to wrong people. So that is why those safety measures have still to be taken care of. Lot of work has been put into, lot of safety measures have been taken care of, but still certain more aspects are required to be handled. So those nitty-gritties, when they are handled and when they are taken care of, check truncation will become a full-fledged affair in the entire country. But as of now, it is prevalent only in certain cities and so far it is working somewhat well, not fully 100% well, but somewhat okay. Check truncation, as I told you, is very beneficial because it cuts down the time to clear the checks, especially outstation checks. So once this spreads, local checks as well as outstation checks of different banks, maybe they can be cleared on the same day and customers need not wait for 2-3 days for local checks to be cleared or 10 to 15 days or even 1 month for outstation checks to be cleared. Once check truncation becomes a full-fledged affair, the payment system will become very, very effective and time will be saved. Businessmen will have more money at their disposal at a quicker time. Now, as we saw the definition of a check is a bill of exchange drawn on a banker. So, in a check, the drawee is always a bank. The banker cannot become an acceptor. In a bill of exchange, the bill is drawn on a particular person asking him to pay to somebody. Now, that particular person has to accept the responsibility. He has to accept that liability. Okay, I'll make the payment. In the case of a check, the banker need not give any such acceptance. It is imperative, it is implied that he has to pay. The acceptance is implied, the acceptance is imperative, it is absolute on his part, he has to pay. So, there is an implied contract between the banker and his customer that the banker will honor the checks drawn by the customer. Of course, he will honor those checks provided there is balance in the customer's account. So, whenever there is balance in the customer's account, to that extent, the checks will be honored. The bank cannot return those checks if the balance is available and if it is otherwise in order. So, the contract between the drawer of the check and the banker is an implied contract and the banker has to act upon that contract. So, he need not physically give any acceptance to a check. That acceptance is required in bill of exchange, especially where it is a sight bill. Here in the case of a check, there is no need for such acceptance. The banker's liability is to the customer only. The banker is not liable to the payee. The payee cannot come and demand, why are you not making the payment to me? I am entitled to get the payment, why are you not giving it to me? The banker is answerable only to his customer because the relationship is between the bank and the customer. So, he is answerable to the drawer. So, the relationship is between the banker and the drawer of the check, not to any other third party. So, the banker's liability is to the customer, the drawer only, not to any other persons. So, friends, a check is an instruction given by the customer to his banker to make payment as per the details mentioned in the check. If the bank does not do what is stated in the check and if it dishonors the customer's check, the customer can take the bank into action. The customer gets a right to take the bank to task. So, if the bank dishonors the customer's check, although he has got sufficient funds in the account, if the bank is still refusing payment, then the customer gets a right of action. So this is the basis of the contract between the customer and the bank. The bank has to honor all the checks if they are otherwise in order and if the customer has got sufficient balance in his account, the bank has to make the payment. See, a check is a bill of exchange. It is an instrument in writing drawn by the customer on the bank, asking the bank to make payment to somebody. So, a check is a bill of exchange, but bill of exchange is not a check because bill of exchange can be drawn by a person on any other person also. But in the case of a check, it has to be drawn only on a bank. Checks do not require acceptance as they are always payable on demand. A check is always a demand instrument. So, there is no question of acceptance required. Only in sight bills, acceptance comes into picture. For checks, there is no sight payment. So, it is a demand instrument. So, no acceptance is required. As we have seen, a check is an instruction order to the bank to make the payment to the payee. The only condition in the definition is it has to be in writing and it has to be signed by the maker, that is the customer. Now, if it has to be in writing and it has to be a written document, it can be on any piece of paper. If it is written on a blank paper, an ordinary A4 size paper or even half of that A4 size paper or any small piece of paper, it is a valid document. So, a check need not necessarily have a format. It need not necessarily be on a particular type of paper. But what will happen if anybody starts writing anything on a plain paper, it becomes easily tamperable. It can be copied, it can be forged, any fraud can be played on it. So, that is why to avoid such situations, banks have introduced a particular format of a check and that will be on a security paper so that people do not misuse this situation. each bank will have its own type of checkbook. It will have its own design. And these will be on the security paper, specially printed by separate printers, not any ordinary printer. But the format of the checkbook or the type, design, these are all not defined in the Negotiable Instrument Act. Negotiable Instrument Act only talks about the check and its requirements. They do not talk about the check design or the paper or the quality. These are all brought into force over a period of time due to the problems faced by those banks in those days. Now let us see, you have seen the definition of a check, you have seen what are its requirements, what are the repercussions of honoring, not honoring a check. Now let us see this quickly as to what are the real characteristics of a check. First of all, it has to be in writing. Now when you say it has to be in writing, the Act does not say it has to be written by a pen or pencil or any other instrument for writing. It doesn't even say it should be typewritten. It can be in any mode. Normally we will not accept a check written by pencil because of certain obvious reasons. We don't want any erasing and somebody else writing something else. The Act does not even say that it should be in the same handwriting as that of the customer, the one who is signing the check. Somebody else can fill in the details and he just puts his signature. That is permitted. The Act does not talk of all these things. A check is an unconditional order on the bank where the drawer has got his account. Although it is an order, you need not use the word order. Normally the word used is pay. Pay to so and so. We will not say, I am ordering you to pay to so and so. So the word order will not appear on the check. The word used is pay. A check must be drawn for a certain sum of money. The amount has to be very clear. And usually in a check, people have all types of handwritings. There are so many people who write in different styles. And there are people who can't even read their own handwriting. Aap likhe khuda vache. So they can't read their own handwriting. So Bhagwan janta hai unhone kya likha hai. But the bank has to interpret and make the payment. So to be on the safe side, bank says you write the amount in figures as well as words. And if there is by chance a difference in the amount in figures and the amount in words will prevail. We will not go by the figure, we will go by the amount written in words. See, in one particular case, there was a check issued for 6 lakh rupees. Figures mein likha tha 6, phir 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 5 zeros, so 6 lakhs. Words mein likhte samay, usne sirf 6 likh ke chhod diya aur sign karke de diya. Bhul gaya, LACS, lakhs likhne ke liye. The check came to the bank for payment. The bank made payment of only 6 rupees, not 6 lakhs. So, dono, the payee, the beneficiary came and started fighting with the bank and the customer also started fighting with the bank. Ki aapko dikhta nahi hai kya 6 lakh likha hua hai, aapne sirf 6 rupay ka payment kaise kiya? See, 6 rupay ka koi check issue karega. Why should I make a check, issue a check for 6 rupees? Wo to main aise cash de sakta tha usko. Aapko samajh mein aana tha ki ye 6 lakh ka check hai. But the bank said, sorry, no. Aapne words mein 6 likha hai, only SIX 6, I have to make payment of 6, this is the law. The check has to be signed by the drawer. If the drawer is not signing, somebody authorized to sign on his behalf. Normally, rubber stamp signature jo hai, wo allowed nahi hai. Because rubber stamp signature can be misused by somebody else who gets the possession of the rubber stamp. Isliye rubber stamp signature nahi chalta hai, the signature has to be in the handwriting of the drawer. You can have a rubber stamp for the name of the company or firm or whatever, a trust, society. But the signature has to be in the handwriting of the person authorized to sign. He may be the customer himself or his agent, representative. The Act also doesn't say it should be signed by pen or black color ink or blue color ink. Ye sab kuch nahi likha hua hai. It can be even signed by a pencil. It only says it should be signed. But normally hum pencil signature accept nahi karenge because of obvious reasons. We can accept the signature in any language. The normal signature which a customer always signs, it may be in Hindi or Urdu or any regional language, it is acceptable. This signature will be available with the bank as a specimen signature in their records. So whatever is the specimen signature given by the customer to the bank at the time of opening the account, that same signature should be continued. They will not accept any other signature. Now what happens, you know, over a period of time, suppose a customer is maintaining account with the bank for 15, 20 years or even 30, 40 years. Over a period of time, as his age advances, his signature will start changing. When I open the bank account at the age of 20 and today if I am 60 years old, my signature has undergone lot of change in these 40 years. So what should the bank do? Bank knows that the customer is genuine, but the signature is different from what is appearing as the specimen on the bank's record. So isme kya karte hain? Once in a while we keep on updating the specimen signature. We will obtain a fresh signature from the customer and put that in the system as our specimen signature. So even an old man will have a specimen signature with the bank which is of recent date. It will not be 20 years old or 40 years old. The check has to be drawn on a bank. It will be issued only to a banker. The name of the bank must be specified. You know, on the checkbook itself, that is why this is another reason why a checkbook is printed by the bank itself. They are not asking you to print it. They are not asking the customers to print it. Because if the customer prints, he may make mistakes. He may make spelling mistakes, he may make some other mistake, and then that will lead to confusion. So that is why the checkbook is printed by the bank itself and it is supplied to the customer. Act does not say that the bank should supply the checkbook. The Act only says the check must be drawn on a bank, the name of the bank has to be specified and very clear, there should be no ambiguity, no doubt as to which bank it is drawn on. A check is payable on demand, it is a demand instrument, it is not a sight instrument. But there is no need to mention in the check, please pay on demand. We may write these words in a bill of exchange, but on a check there is no need to mention because it is a demand instrument. No need to mention this. A check does not require acceptance. Obviously, it is a demand instrument. It is to be paid on demand. The acceptance ka sawal hi nahi aata hai. There is no need for acceptance.